This is Conor Lennon at UN News in New York. As a UN report reveals a quantum leap in the number of AI patents being filed around the world, it isn't the tech that we should be worried about, but the way that we choose to use it. That's the view of Kriti Sharma, one of the UN's Young Leaders for Sustainable Development Goals, who set up the AI for Good organisation in the UK, which aims to ensure that AI helps to create a better, fairer world. When I interviewed her, she pointed out that AI tools are only as good as the people who create them and warned of the dangers of assuming that they're free from bias or prejudice.
It's quite easy to assume that machines don't have any feelings, machines don't have any prejudice or biases and judgment, and therefore machines will make unbiased decisions. In fact, the reality is quite the opposite. In just the way humans have biases, machines, AI, artificial intelligence related machines, algorithms, they learn the way humans do. And if the data that's fed into these machines is biased, the technology ends up learning bias too. And some examples of that have become quite prominent in the recent few weeks and months, in that we are seeing algorithms or AI technologies that are horribly racist and sexist. For example, facial recognition systems, where they fail to recognize Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey because they happen to be darker-skinned women. And this level of inequality, which can quite often go unnoticed, there's a real need to fix it right now and make sure that the technology that we do create is creating better opportunities for everyone, not just a few people.
And are there many people out there who have your level of understanding, or are you a bit of a voice in the wilderness?
I have to say it has improved a lot. When I first started working in this field, people would sometimes say, oh, are you fighting for robot rights? And it would be perceived in many different ways. But now I would say in the scientific and the technology community, because of some of the recent events that have happened in the tech world, where we're starting to see the longer term potential negative impact some of the technology decisions and business models can have on society, there's more awareness of it. I have to say that there is a lot more work that needs to be done at a policymaker level and the government and the regulator level, because unfortunately they're quite often in catch-up mode. Technology moves so fast, it's all very new, and some of the policymakers and regulators are trying to play catch up. And the same applies to the education system, where young people who are going through these degrees and qualifications and education system, they can get through their entire process without even having to think about or read about ethics of technology.
And tell me a bit more about your experience of working with young people.
I started a project over 18 months ago called Future Makers, which is purely focused on bringing a new generation of technologists or people who would use technology to solve global issues. And I genuinely believe that the future of our world should not be designed by geeks like me. It needs to be a combination of people from diverse backgrounds. So I put together this project and we started training young people from very diverse backgrounds. And they're people who have more understanding of things that machines can't do, like empathy, emotional intelligence, solving the right problems, and creating scalable solutions, large-scale impact. And we gave them the AI skills rather than the other way around, which is let's teach everyone to code, and because it solves a short-term resource gap in the industry. It's more about creating the human skills, enhancing them, and using machines to augment human capabilities. And we found that the results were amazing in that these young people were not interested in just creating yet another app to connect you with people near you, but they were interested in creating more tangible, scalable solutions. For example, some of the young people are building a companion for the elderly who live alone. Another group of kids have built a solution to help create a personal tutor for children who don't have access to quality education in the developing countries. The same solutions for healthcare, issues around domestic violence or violence against children. And it was really, for me, it all came to reality when I saw that 9 out of 10 times these young people want to create solutions that are somehow, in a way, aligned to the Sustainable Development Goals without prompting them to do so. And the lesson we learned from these experiences is that when there's a diverse group of people from various backgrounds and experiences, when they actually get a flavor of this technology, they're not scared. They can actually see what it can do for the world.
And you've gone through many examples of how it can do good to the world. But there does seem to be generalized unease about technology. And this is not a particularly hopeful time. Many people think that the future is not going to be as good as the present or the past was, rightly or wrongly. What do you think could be done to change that perception?
I think the perception is also somehow somewhat connected to reality. On one hand, there's the issue that when AI technologies have been portrayed in popular culture or science fiction, or thanks to Hollywood, it paints a very dark picture of it. And whilst it is true that there is a risk of technology being used in a harmful way, in a negative way, or potential impact on automation and automation on jobs, there's also a huge opportunity. And to me, one of the biggest risks that we face is not embracing this technology just for solving the right problems. And to fix it, there are three things that I'm working on, and I think we need to do a lot more of it beyond just me. Number one, making sure that there is a diverse group of people creating this technology. It's not just the technologists. It needs to be people who understand society, policymakers, solutions to real issues, those experts in the room from various backgrounds and diverse teams, because they create diverse products. Number two, making sure we're solving the right problems with this technology and not just fixing the easier bits, the low-hanging fruit all the time. There's huge opportunity for AI to help progress accelerate the sustainable development goals. And that's where a lot of energy and resources and funding and research needs to go. And lastly, we need to create standards and rules and regulations, in fact, in some cases, on how to make sure that the technology we do create is done in a safe, ethical way for the world.
And you've outlined some examples of how AI can solve problems, but can it necessarily solve inequality? It's hard to see that there's a clear argument that it necessarily can. I'm not saying there's a clear argument that it won't, but we're already seeing a situation where inequality is growing. Are you confident that in a future where, partly as a result of the technology that we're using, and we are going to be using it more and more, inequalities can be reduced?
That's a very good point. And the answer is yes and no. No, because if we don't focus on giving everyone equal access to technology, and for example, AI is a field that requires access to a lot of data today, and that means people who haven't been, or countries or nations that haven't been online, or they don't have digital data in the right way, or they don't have standards around data, are going to be at a disadvantage. Similarly, when it comes to the workforce, there are studies, for example, from the World Economic Forum that say women are going to lose twice as many jobs as men because of the kind of jobs that can be automated very quickly and fast. We need to change that. We need to make sure that we give people enough opportunities to reskill themselves. Otherwise, we end up creating more inequality than we have before.
So automation, we know, is going to be doing away with many jobs. Basically, if it can be automated, it will be automated. But are you confident that there will be enough new jobs to fully compensate for the loss of those old jobs?
I would say there will be changes in every job. It's in many ways, it's similar to how the personal computing era kicked out when everyone started using computers. You don't have to be a computer engineer or a software developer to use a computer in your day job. And I believe AI and the fourth industrial revolution, as we're calling it, will be exactly the same. We will be doing our work in a different way. The difficulty is going to be when we don't invest enough in reskilling the people, in giving everyone access on how to learn and to train these machines. The young people I was talking about, the young people I'm training through the Future Makers program, many of them don't want to become computer scientists or AI technologists or these new jobs of the future, like the data scientists. Some of them want to be doctors or architects, or even artists. But what they do get out of the program is how they can use AI to be better doctors, to do diagnosis at scale and spot the things that a human eye would miss, or art that would help them be more efficient in the process of what they're doing. And that's really the important factor. I don't think it would be job loss entirely. Yes, there will be some jobs, for example, as we're seeing in transportation, where there will be bigger impact on the entire jobs. But there will be a lot of jobs or roles where there will be task loss rather than job loss. There will be certain tasks that the machines will be doing during the day, and humans will be focusing on slightly different things. The call to action really is for us to invest in reskilling the workforce and people in a more equitable way, rather than just assuming to create more and more technologist jobs. Because the reality is, AI can write its own code, and that would mean if I do my job right as a software engineer, I might not even have a job anymore, right? Because anything that can be automated, to your point, will be. But what machines can't do is problem solving, empathy, emotional intelligence, reasoning, judgment, those human skills that were, in some ways, were not acknowledged to be as at the same level as some of the tech skills in the last few years, bizarrely, I think they're going to come back. And personally, for me, if I could go back in time and do another degree, I think I'll do technology and something more human.
It sounds like you're saying that there does need to be quite a large shift in the way that governments think about this. So you've mentioned lifelong learning. There's a very important way to ensure that you can ride out this huge change that we're in the midst of right now. And also change in values seems to be what you're saying.
Correct, exactly. And also how we teach this to the next generation. Because the young people today who are in the school system or in education, formal or informal, by the time they get into the workforce, they will be doing jobs that don't exist today. A big component of these new jobs that will be created, current jobs that will change and transform, we need to prepare them and give them these life skills and invest in that future. And we also need to redesign or rethink how some global frameworks work, like taxation systems and investing in continuous lifelong learning and skills. And there are some experiments already happening with models like universal basic income. But to me, it's more an urgent call to action to do a deep, thorough analysis and start to translate it into execution to make sure that we're giving these young people a fair chance.
And are you hopeful?
I'm a very optimistic person, so yes. And I feel more hope because I come across some amazing young people, and I'm very privileged to work with amazing, amazing human beings. These young people who have so much energy and they want to use this technology for good. Of the young people that I've trained in the last few years, nobody has tried to build a killer robot yet.